When state lawmakers convene in January for a 60-day legislative session, they'll have a lot on their minds. At the top of their worry list will be an estimated $400 million budget shortfall for the coming fiscal year. As KUNM's Jim Williams reports, legislators will once again have a tough battle over whether the state's two biggest programs, education and Medicaid, will be cut, and whether tax increases will be on the table.
Education and Medicaid account for 60% of the state budget. Cutting $400 million out of a $5.2 billion budget isn't easy when 60% of said budget is off limits. Gubernatorial candidate Susana Martinez had made that promise earlier this year. In late October, when KUNM asked her specifically how she would cover the shortfall, much of her answer revolved around reducing state employees.
If we did not fill positions that of state employees once they left for whatever reason, to stay home, to for a different job, to go back to school, 5% attrition rate, we could save as much as $40 million a year.
Martinez has been careful to avoid talking about cuts to education and Medicaid. But last week, nmpolitics.net reported that her transition team is now indicating education and Medicaid are on the table for cuts. They recently asked state agencies to identify ways to cut 10% from their budgets, and they're identifying efficiencies in the budget. Martinez has said she wants to avoid layoffs and furloughs, but hasn't ruled them out. And for education and Medicaid, many of the big decisions will be made in legislative committees. There have been some jokes floating around the roundhouse about how the next governor is really John Arthur Smith, a fiscally conservative Democrat who is the powerful chair of the Senate Finance Committee. Smith has said all along that Medicaid and education will have to share in the cuts along with other state programs.
So it's going to be a tough challenge, but we need to be putting partisan politics aside and find out how we can deliver services in a less expensive way and still take care of the needs of the state of New Mexico. It's up to the administrators, and administrators make good money, to be resourceful in how they're going to deliver those services in a more efficient fashion.
Representative Donald Bratton, a Republican from Hobbs who is on the Legislative Finance Committee, or LFC, takes a sort of tough love approach that may be prevalent in the coming session.
We've made cuts in the last year and a half that have had some pretty huge impacts to particularly small agencies, so we've got to be very careful with regard to how we address that. But it's a long-term problem that needs a long-term fix.
LFC Chairman Lucky Varela, a Democratic representative from Santa Fe, says the cuts already made total $900 million to recurring expenses, some of that from education.
I'm concerned about cutting the budget anymore. You know, we've done cuts to the extent that it's beginning to hurt a lot of the general public. So this is why we want to find a better way of balancing the budget. Don't do it at the expense of cutting expenditures only.
More cuts will be a tough sell to many, including Democratic Senator Eric Griego, who's also director of New Mexico Voices for Children, an advocacy organization based in Albuquerque. He's likely to help lead an effort in the Senate to push back on raising revenues. He says start with the over $1 billion in New Mexico's tax loopholes.
Right now, we know where some of these big loopholes are. There's a mandatory combined loophole that we could be asking multi-state companies to pay what in-state companies pay. That would generate $20 to $50 million. There's a number of loopholes for the coal industry, for the oil and gas industry, for a number of other industries that we could just make a decision in this session to close those loopholes and to say, you know what, working families are paying their taxes. It's only fair that large corporations and coal companies and everybody else pay their taxes. So it's about fairness, and it's about prioritizing children and families.
It's also about incoming Governor Susana Martinez, who might veto anything she sees as a tax increase. Griego says he thinks once she sees the impact of more deep cuts, she might reconsider that. Earlier this month, the Human Services Department made a Medicaid presentation to the LFC. In it, Secretary Katie Falls made the point that Medicaid, a $4 billion budget item, including federal funds, essentially sustains thousands of jobs in New Mexico, so cutting it would impact those jobs. In fact, the department says a $336 million increase is needed simply to keep services at today's levels. The incoming Martinez administration has been meeting with Richardson administration officials about Medicaid, education, and other budget issues. KUNM has asked for time with the Martinez transition team, but has had no luck thus far. One thing's clear, it'll be a tough legislative session coming up, and easy places to cut the budget will be hard to find. For KUNM, I'm Jim Williams.
New Mexico lawmakers will gather in Santa Fe next week for a legislative session that's sure to be contentious, especially around the issue of spending and taxes. The state budget is once again in the red, and legislators will have a tough time cutting enough spending to balance it. But some lawmakers are aiming at film industry tax credits that were increased recently. At the same time, opponents of that idea call it a smokescreen. KUNM's Jim Williams reports.
We are subsidizing one industry to the detriment of the rest of the state, and it's improper. It's bad economics, bad public policy.
That is Dennis Kentai, a Republican state representative from Roswell. He sponsored a bill to eliminate the film industry incentive altogether, which amounts to a tax rebate of 25 cents for every dollar spent in New Mexico on a production.
We have paid out in the last 2 years $135 million out of the public treasury. During that time, we have raised taxes, we have raised gross receipts taxes, we have cut the pay of public employees, including teachers, and we have furloughed. We have put the burden of this particular industry on the backs of every New Mexican.
Kentai cites several studies, most of them done in other states, that he says show their return on investment for film tax credits has been in the 15 to 20% range. He did some checking and says he found that one-third of the companies receiving credits weren't listed with New Mexico as corporations, and another third were out of state.
Who were these people? Why do they get the money? What have they done to deserve the money? Are all questions that could not be answered.
It's possible, though, that the same could be said about other incentives and tax credits given out by New Mexico. Kentai says he's willing to look at them, too, but
none of them come anywhere close to this amount of money that's flowing out.
They say nothing about the $400 million in subsidies that the state gives to coal, oil, gas, and potash.
Santa Fe Democratic Representative Brian Egolf says Kentai and others are choosing to ignore the collectively much bigger tax credits given to other industries.
So there's a lot more to this than meets the eye. This is not so much a debate over the film business as it is another attempt by certain Republicans who were bought and sold by big oil and gas companies to attack spending that doesn't directly benefit their buddies in the oil and gas business.
Egolf calls the film industry a bright spot in the state's economy in a time when other sectors are struggling. He says between 1,100 and 1,200 people are working in the industry, with more than 200 new businesses that have benefited from the tax credit.
For us to spend 8 years or 10 years investing in making this industry alive and vibrant, only to pull the plug now, in the middle of this recession, I think is incredibly short-sighted. If it's one of the few things that's actually creating jobs and making money, why would you want to eliminate it? It makes no sense.
Egolf also slams studies quoted by Kentai and other film industry tax credit opponents, saying they used questionable methods and old data. And he says assertions that the money isn't being spent in a transparent way on New Mexicans are false. The information, he says, is available from the Taxation and Revenue Department. And he has a question for opponents.
Why have you never demanded an audit of the $400 million the state gives every year to established industries, namely oil and gas, coal, and potash? Why are we still subsidizing them to the tune of $400 million? And there's no oversight. There's no auditing.
Meanwhile, Governor Susana Martinez on Monday released her budget recommendations for the next fiscal year. In them, she suggests cutting the film industry tax credit from 25 to 15% to save about $25 million a year. It's not clear, though, whether compromise will be possible between supporters and opponents of the credits. The session begins Tuesday, January 18th.
The 50th New Mexico Legislature is off to a colorful start. Governor Susana Martinez addressed lawmakers this afternoon to start the session, but not before a vote in the House that had many people guessing about who the next speaker would be. KUNM's Jim Williams reports.
It is my privilege to stand before you as New Mexico's 27th governor.
Martinez was clearly aware of the significance of where she stood in the House chambers. The first woman to address the New Mexico legislature as governor. She began with echoes of her campaign for office.
By working together, we will take our state in a new direction, embracing bold change over the status quo, choosing progress over complacency, and putting aside partisan differences to achieve lasting results for New Mexico families.
She and lawmakers face a budget shortfall of between $250 and $450 million and a sluggish New Mexico economy.
It's easier to take the reins when times are good, when revenues are high and jobs are plentiful. But that's not the hand we are dealt.
Martina said shared sacrifice and decisive action are necessary. She's proposing cutting the budget by 3% with a 1.5% cut to K-12 administration leading the way.
Now, you've heard some special interest groups say this can't be done. They claim there is no waste in the bureaucracy, not even 1.5%. I don't buy it, and neither do the people of New Mexico.
She reiterated that she wants the state's film industry incentives cut from 25% to 15% and stressed that she would veto any tax increase that gets to her desk. And Martinez repeated her assertion that jobs are leaving the state because of regulations that need to be adjusted. She proposes a Red Tape Reduction Act and the creation of an Office of Business Advocacy that would help businesses break through what she called regulatory roadblocks.
And in doing so, send a loud message and a very clear message. New Mexico is open for business.
Martinez said education must be reformed and seemed to echo words of former President George W. Bush.
We must end the culture of low expectations. Stop accepting failure.
Her reform package includes adopting a grading system to evaluate schools so struggling students can be more quickly identified. She also wants to end the practice of promoting children from one grade to the next before they're ready, and she wants to pay the state's best teachers more. Toward the end of her speech, Martinez called for reinstating the state's death penalty, which was repealed in 2009, and for making it a crime when a public official fails to report pay to play. She also wants to create a public corruption unit in the Public Safety Department. But the biggest rounds of applause came with these two lines.
When people have to show a photo ID to rent a movie, it's not too much to ask to show a photo ID to vote. And if we're going to tell New Mexicans we're serious about securing the border, we must stop giving driver's licenses to illegal immigrants.
Lawmakers had mixed reactions to Martinez's address.
I heard a lot of, for lack of a better term, campaign rhetoric.
Senate Majority Leader Belen Democrat Michael Sanchez said Martinez was short on specifics. He took issue with her assertion that only 61% of the education dollar in New Mexico is spent in the classroom, and individual districts, he said, will have the power to make cuts wherever they want.
And I think those school districts will cut where there is waste, and if there is, I think they're the appropriate ones to do it. It's at the local level, and that's why we give them the autonomy that we give them. If they're not doing what we say they're supposed to be doing, or if we see there's something wrong, then, you know, we have other avenues up here to try to stop it if there's that much waste going on. But it'll be interesting to see how the school districts react to it.
Sanchez took the opportunity to point out that in her speech, Martinez promoted tax subsidies to get Union Pacific Railroad to move a hub from El Paso to Santa Teresa, New Mexico.
On the one hand, she was talking about taking away subsidy for one industry and giving a subsidy to another. So it's going to be a fun session. We're going to enjoy it, and hopefully the acrimony will be minimal.
Some lawmakers expressed concern that Martinez's tough language on certain issues would diminish New Mexico's compassionate image. Democratic South Valley Representative Miguel Garcia said he was dismayed at what he called her 1-2 punch on the death penalty and immigrant driver's licenses. Most immigrants, he said, have benefited the state.
The driver's license helped them kind of make contributions to the society that they live and work in and that their kids get an education in. And it kind of took them out of the shadows and kind of made them a contributing member of our society. And to neglect them, the driver's license, is going to be a real bad step backwards.
Senate Finance Committee Chairman John Arthur Smith, a Deming Democrat, said Martinez's talk of spending cuts was music to his ears, especially her call for education administration cuts.
Oh, I think she's being very careful. She wants to do things differently when it comes to education. And I've been here, quite frankly, 22 years, and we've done the same thing every year with education. And I think when we need to give her an opportunity to try and do something a little bit differently.
Albuquerque Republican Senator Bill Payne said he'd never heard a clearer state of the state address in terms of the administration's priorities for the legislature.
The legislature right now is pretty clear on where the executive stands on a lot of things, and whether or not they want to test her will we'll see in the next 60 days, but I think it was a very hard-hitting speech, and I think it will be a speech most of New Mexico will understand, and I suspect that's where most of New Mexico is right now in their feelings about the political process, that they would find most of that worthy of their support.
Payne says he doesn't think the budget will be a contentious issue, primarily because the legislature's budget proposal isn't far from Martinez's. Some of the details, like the education piece, could get contentious, but he says the real battle is likely to take place in the House, where earlier in the day, Representative Ben Lujan narrowly retained his speaker position. This after Republicans nearly recruited Democratic Representative Joseph Cervantes to challenge him and get their votes. Republicans decided at the last minute against the idea, possibly because they heard from constituents that they shouldn't vote for a Democrat. Payne says there are two schools of thought.
One, the Republicans remained united as a caucus, or they were fractured to the point where they couldn't mount a coup and have other like-minded Democrats perhaps join them and change over there. So, you know, that's subject to interpretation. We'll see by the end of the session whether that was a good plan or a bad plan.
Meanwhile, the man that House Republicans ended up nominating, who narrowly lost, Farmington Representative Thomas Taylor, said his caucus looked at both options and made a strategic decision.
It is the status quo. We're still in the minority. If the status quo continues, then in the next election we'll have an advantage because nothing changed when we had an opportunity, and it was blocked by the status quo.
Lujan, meanwhile, will go about the business once again of assigning chairs and members to committees. In a speech following the vote, Lujan said he was, quote, deeply humbled and honored to continue to serve as speaker, unquote. He made no reference, though, to the close vote in the House. From Santa Fe, for KUNM, I'm Jim Williams.